Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Mexico Ministry of Finance first quarter results conference call. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions and comments following today's presentation. Joining us today is Andrés Conesa, General Director of Economic Policy, and Alonso García, General Director of Public Credit. At this time, I would like to turn the floor over to your host, Andrés Conesa. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Mexico's Ministry of Finance first quarter 2003 conference call. First, I will make a brief description of the recent economic developments. Second, I will touch upon the main results of public finances. And then I will leave you with Alonso García Tamés, who will discuss with you the main results regarding public debt. After finishing, we will proceed with a question and answer section. With respect to the macroeconomic update, I would like to highlight the following points. During the first quarter of this year, the international scenario was characterized by increased uncertainty due to geopolitical risks. In particular, the U.S. economy showed new signs of weakness. Growth in the Eurozone continued to be below potential. The recovery of the Japanese economy remained fragile, and international oil prices reached levels not observed in the past 13 years. Despite this complex international scenario, the Mexican economy continued to expand in real terms during the first quarter of the year. If current trends continue, we project that the Mexican economy will grow at a real annual rate of 2.7% during the first quarter of 2003. We have almost complete data for the first 2 months. In particular, the IGAE, the Global Index of Economic Activity, which is a proxy of GDP, increased 2% in real terms during the first 2 months of the year. Within the IGAE, the production and the services sector increased 3% in real annual terms. While the construction sector and the electricity, gas, and water sector expanded at real annual rates of 4.3% and 2.5% respectively. In contrast, the rate of growth of economic sectors more closely linked to external markets, especially the maquiladora and the automotive industries, remain weak. In particular, industrial production grew at a moderate real annual rate of 0.8% during the first 2 months of 2003. Labor markets reflected the sluggishness of the industrial sector and investment demand. Nonetheless, it is worth noting that the seasonal job declines registered during the first quarter were more moderate than in the previous two years. In this context, at the end of March of this year, the number of employees registered with the Mexican Social Security Institute, a measure of formal employment, was around 78,000 workers higher than at the end of March of 2002. The inflation rate showed a downward trend during the first 3 months of the year. In particular, the annual change in the CPI stood at 5.64% at the end of the first quarter, which is slightly lower than the one that prevailed at the end of 2002. However, core inflation, which measures inflationary pressures over the medium term more accurately, recorded an annual increase of 3.53%, which is 0.24 percentage points lower than in 2002, than at the end of 2002. During the first quarter of the year, domestic financial markets were affected by increased uncertainty in international markets and the lackluster evolution of the global economy as well. Short-term interest rates reflected this uncertainty and observed upward pressures. Nevertheless, the yield curve flattened as the average medium and long-term interest rates declined with respect to the levels observed in the previous quarter, that is, in the fourth quarter of 2002. In this context, the perception of Mexico's country risk also showed a favorable evolution during the first 3 months of 2003, as shown by the decrease of sovereign spreads from 331 basis points in December 2002 to 291 basis points at the end of March of the year. On the external sector, the trade deficit for the period January-March 2003 amounted to US$377 million. This is 77% lower than the deficit recorded in the first quarter of 2002, and it's the lowest since the third quarter of 1997. Additionally, for the first time since June of 1997, the monthly trade balance registered a surplus in February of this year. Moving forward to public finances, I would like to stress the following points. During the first quarter of 2003, the public sector overall balance registered a surplus of 27.2 billion pesos, contrasting with the deficit recorded in the same period of last year. The public sector primary balance, which excludes interest payments on the public debt, registered a surplus of 84.3 billion pesos. This is 103.1 higher in real terms than in the same period of 2002. With respect to public sector revenues, budgetary revenues amounted to 400 billion pesos, which is 21% higher in real terms compared to the first 3 months of last year. This result reflected increases in both oil-related and non-oil-related revenues. Oil-related revenues increased 38% in real annual terms due to the favorable developments of the Mexican oil price mix in international markets. Non-oil tax revenues increased at a real annual rate of 14.3% due mainly to real increases in value-added tax and income tax collection of 18.7% and 10.8% respectively. I would like to highlight that even though the application of administrative measures had encouraging results in the evolution of non-oil tax revenues, some favorable calendar effects also play a positive role in tax collection during the quarter. First, in the case of income tax, the collection for the first quarter of the year reflects a low base effect. In particular, the last day of March of 2002 was not a working day, which forced firms to make their definite tax payments for 2002 in April of last year. Since this situation did not happen during 2003, firms were able to make their definite tax payments in March of this year. Secondly, in the case of value-added tax collection, the results reflect the fiscal measures approved by Congress in December of 2001. These measures, as you may recall, modified value-added tax collection payments from an accrual basis to a cash basis, which became effective on April of last year. That is, the base for the first quarter of value-added tax collection is relatively low, and that explains why the substantial increase in real terms in this item. Additionally, the increase in revenues reflects the collection of a fee from Banobras of 8.7 billion pesos associated with the guarantee that the federal government grants to its liabilities. These resources, however, were directed to the capitalization of the bank and did not have an impact on the overall public sector balance. In this context, public sector revenues for the first quarter were 19 billion pesos higher than projected in the calendar published in the Official Gazette on January of this year. On the expenditure side, total budgetary expenditures during the first quarter were 10% higher than in the same period of 2002 in real terms. Primary expenditures, defined as net budgetary expenditures less interest payments on the public sector debt, totaled 319 billion pesos, which is 9.8% higher compared to the first 3 months of the year. I would like to highlight that the increase in public sector expenditures also reflects some transitory effects. First, the increase in expenditures reflects the allocation of 8.7 billion pesos to the capitalization of Banobras, which I mentioned before. Secondly, the behavior of expenditures reflects a transitory increase in disbursements due to the start of operations of the Sistema Integral de Administración Financiera Federal, which is called SIAF due to its acronym in Spanish. In order to avoid disruptions in the activities of public entities due to the operation of the new system, the Federal Treasury provided to these entities sufficient resources to face their financial obligations. These resources were not totally exercised by public entities during the quarter, but were registered as expenditures since they left the Federal Treasury. In this context, overall expenditures, we are expecting it to be adjusted in the following months as the complete information regarding public entities' expenditures becomes available. In all, public finance results for the first quarter of the year are consistent with the target of the deficit for the year as a whole of 0.5 percentage points of GDP approved by Congress. With this, I conclude this my part of the presentation, and I leave you with Alonso García Tamés, who will discuss with you the main results regarding public debt. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Andres, and thank you for attending the quarterly report on public finances and public debt. Regarding public debt results, I would like to start by mentioning that at the end of March 2003, Mexico's total net public sector debt amounted to 26.6% of GDP. That is 2.2 percentage points higher than what was observed at the end of 2002. The increase I just mentioned results from two factors. One, a rise of 1.6 percentage points in the external debt to GDP ratio due primarily to the depreciation of the peso with respect to the US dollar. And second, to the global bond issues that took place during the first quarter of the year. However, it is worth emphasizing that these global bond issues are part of the overall financing policy for the year and are consistent with the zero net external indebtedness ceiling approved by Congress for 2003. This means that for the remaining quarters of the year, we shall see net amortizations of external debt. During the first quarter of the year, net domestic debt increased 0.6 percentage points of GDP because, as in previous years, the government will meet its financing needs through domestic bonds offering in accordance with the revenue law approved by Congress for the fiscal year 2003. During the first quarter of the year, Mexico conducted the following transactions in the international capital markets. First, on January, the federal government issued the $2 billion 10-year global bonds. And second, on March, the federal government issued $1 billion 12-year global bonds that included collective action clauses. The inclusion of collective action clauses increases the degree of certainty in the relationship between the sovereign debt issuers and investors in the unlikely event of a sovereign debt restructuring process. The weighted cost of these issues was 44 basis points lower than the weighted cost of the issues registered in 2002. Regarding domestic debt policy, the structure of public debt auctions adopted by the federal government continued to be guided by the objective of reducing the vulnerability of public sector finances by extending the average maturity of its internal debt. Therefore, during the first quarter of the year, the federal government has favored the issuance of peso-denominated bonds that bear interest at fixed nominal interest rates. At the end of March 2003, net external public sector debt totaled almost $79 billion, almost $3 billion higher than the outstanding balance recorded at the end of last year. This result is mainly attributable to an increase in net external indebtedness of $2.15 billion. Net domestic indebtedness of the federal government amounted to 822.6 billion pesos at the end of the first quarter of the year. That is 1.3 billion pesos higher than the amount observed at the end of 2002. At the end of March 2003, the federal government recorded a net decrease of 37.3 billion pesos in net domestic borrowings. It is worth noting that the net domestic indebtedness ceiling approved by Congress for 2003 amounts to 99 billion pesos. At March 31, 2003, the average maturity of the federal government's outstanding domestic debt was 913 days. That is 97 days longer than the average maturity recorded at the end of 2002. And with this, I will conclude the part of the presentation related to public debt finances, and we will go now into the question and answer part of the conference. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, you may press the number 1 followed by 4 on your touch-tone telephone at this time. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. We do ask that while you pose your question, to please utilize your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Once again, that is 1 followed by 4 for any questions or comments at this time. Our first question is coming from Alfredo Forne of JP Morgan Mexico. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, Andres and Alonso. One question that I have is on the public works, if you can give us a sense of how much is the expenditure related to Pidereggas investment performed in the first half of the year. And the second, Andres, is that you have this morning you have reiterated your 3% GDP growth forecast for the full year. If you can tell us a little bit what you are looking into that 3% and what is the difference that you have, for instance, with Banco de Mexico. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alfredo. I'll start with the second part of the question. When we prepared the program for the year, which was in late October, early November of last year, and we stressed that during the presentation of it, we were expecting growth to be driven by investment on the demand side and by industrial production on the supply side. And in terms of the timing, that we were expecting it to happen during the second part of the year, during the second half. Since then, and since last October and today, we feel that with the information that we have, does not call for a change, a downgrade in our GDP forecast for the year, given that we are expecting for the first quarter growth of 2.7, which is consistent with the 3% for the year. All in all, we had for the first half growth of 2.5, and for the second half growth on average of 3.5. As you know, the second quarter will be weaker than the first quarter due to the seasonal effects, because the Easter fell in the first quarter last year, and it fell in the second quarter during 2003, and that's driving part of the positive results for March, which will be reflected in a higher GDP for the first quarter of the year. Some of the risks that we highlighted in the economic guidelines for the year were associated with the conflict in the Middle East, its impact on international oil prices. We were expecting, you know, this cloud to remove from the scenario earlier in the year. Well, it didn't happen as early as in January or February, but at the end, it happened in March, in early April, and after oil prices, you know, our oil mix, we were selling it close to $30 per barrel. It has declined almost 40% in line with the WTI to levels of around 20. And we feel that this is, you know, more supportive of for global growth. So in our scenario, considering that a recovery of the U.S. economy, a stronger U.S. economy than with respect to the first half can happen, that we are still working on that assumption, and that's the main reason why we remain with the 3% for the year. When we have more information in the next months, depending on that, we will then make a decision whether to upgrade or downgrade the forecast. With respect to the spending in Pidiregas, as you know, how Pidiregas is registering the public accounts, it's with a lag than with respect when the actual expenditure is done by the private contractors. So we start registering the amortization of Pidiregas once the project is concluded and it's in either Pemex or CFE hands. During the first quarter of the year, this amortization of Pidiregas, which is registered as spending, posted an increase of 55% in real terms, and that's driven by the higher expenditures by the private sector in Pidiregas in the past 2 years, and represents around 18% of the program for the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Andres.
Our next question is coming from Gray Newman of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning. Thank you, Andres and Alonso. Just one question. You had mentioned the strong results in the first quarter on the public finances and that you were therefore running ahead by about 19 billion pesos in terms of income. I was wondering if any decision has been made on when those monies would be allocated out in line with the automatic stabilizers, any kind of timetable for that. And you had also described you had special effects in both the income tax collection as well as value-added tax collection. I was wondering if you had done any work internally to try to adjust for those special effects on payment and what the income tax and value-added tax numbers might have looked like, but for the special factors. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. With respect to the first part of the question, as I mentioned, total revenues were 19 billion pesos higher than those programs, and which was in the calendar, which was published in the Official Gazette in early January. Out of the 19 billion, 8.7 billion correspond to Banobras, which, as we mentioned before, those were allocated to the capitalization of the bank. So taking out the 19, we remain with 11. From those 11, around 5 are associated with higher revenue of public sector entities, especially Pemex, the Federal Electricity Commission, the Mexican Social Security Institute. Pemex, as you know, has its own primary balance, and the revenue it's allocated accordingly to those rules, and those work on a quarterly basis. And the other entities as well usually spend additional revenues they get. So all in all, we are left with additional revenues according to these automatic stabilizers that you referred, and by that I mean the additional revenues that will be allocated for investment spending in the states, for the oil stabilization fund, and to pay down debt. According to that classification, we have around 2 billion pesos of additional revenue. As you know how these automatic stabilizers work, we have to subtract any increase in non-programmable expenditures, meaning revenue sharing with states and municipalities, and higher costs on the public sector debts. If we include those additional costs, actually these revenues are on the negative side. Net revenues would be negative. So that doesn't mean that for the year as a whole, we will not have additional revenues. In February, we made a projection for the year as a whole for 2003, and according to that, we were expecting additional revenues net of higher non-programmable expenditures to be on the neighborhood of 14 billion pesos. And in line with that projection, we already created the trust, 7 billion for investment expenditure in states and municipalities. If this projection at the end of the year validates, 7 billion again will be spent in investment, 3.5 billion will go to the oil stabilization fund, and 3.5 billion will be used to pay down debt, that meaning a lower fiscal deficit. We will wait till probably the end of the year at the fourth quarter to make the final decision once we have more information, at least complete information for the first 9 months of 2003. Regarding the second part of the question, I think it's useful to compare what I referred during my presentation of these calendar effects regarding both income tax collection and value-added tax collection serve to explain the abnormal increase in real terms with respect to the first quarter of last year. Probably to correct for what you would like to find, it's if we compare both items with respect to the program. And looking, doing that, those comparisons, you can see that income tax collection fell short in around 5 billion with respect to the program, and value-added tax collection, in the opposite, was 5 billion higher than what we expected in the program. So adjusting for this effect, probably income tax is slightly weaker than what we expected, and value-added tax is coming a little bit stronger than what we assume in the program. Thank you.
Thank you. Any thoughts on why the value-added tax, which might be tied to economic activity, is coming in stronger? And if you were your own sense of the 2.7% GDP growth number for the first quarter, is your sense during the course of the quarter the economy was gaining ground or was slowing somewhat during the course of the quarter?
Your next question is coming from Juan Pablo of BBVA. Please go ahead.
Hello, Juan Pablo Chavez here from BBVA. Just one question, and it's related really for, I mean, there's been talk right now of some government plans to boost activity on the domestic side. My question is, even including some changes in the tax codes, could you give us some insight on whether these are, I mean, the current state of this and whether this will be any fiscal cost of it for the program? As far as I understand, as you've mentioned before, the excess revenues that may accrue will take place or the use of them for the year could be done until the end of the fourth quarter. So if any case, my question relates to the fiscal cost for these tax code changes, if at all.
Thank you, Juan Pablo. Let me just use some time to complete the answer that Gray posted to the question that Gray posted before we lost the connection. Regarding the VAT results, that probably, I don't think that it's explained by the dynamics of the real economy, because as I mentioned before, growth in the first quarter, the 2.7, is in line with what we were expecting when we elaborated the program for the year. I think that it's mainly due to the following factors. First, to the changes approved by moving from an accrual to a cash flow basis, approved in December of 2001. It also has to do with the fact that value-added tax collection for imports was higher due to the depreciation of the exchange rate, which increased the value of imports in pesos, and also by the fact that value-added tax collection at the end of 2002 was higher than what we were expecting in November, and that also increased the base. Regarding dynamics within the quarter, for the 2.7 to materialize, that means roughly for March an increase in real annual terms, which will be higher than in January and February, but due to the seasonal effect of the Semana Santa effect, again, which in 2002 fell in March. So even though growth will be higher, we feel that economic activity was roughly, you know, remain more or less constant within the quarter. We don't see any important change in activity. With respect to Juan Pablo's question regarding changes in the tax code to stimulate domestic demand, in what was announced in May 1st, basically refers to changes to induce higher investments. As you know, from the changes approved in December of 2001, refer to the accelerated depreciation of investment expenditures in all areas except the three major cities of the country, Mexico City, Guadalajara, and Monterrey. We are working on some additional measures to induce higher investment expenditure in line with this broad measure that has been in place since January of this year. If it has a fiscal cost, obviously it will be reflected in the figures for the year, and thus can probably affect the revenues for the year as a whole, although we do not expect this amount to be significant at all. In the future, we will give additional details. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, for any further questions or comments, please press the number 1 followed by 4 on your telephone keypad at this time. Excuse me, gentlemen, there appear to be no further questions. I'll turn the floor back over to you for any further remarks.
Okay, if there are no further questions, with this we will conclude the quarterly conference call. We want to thank you again for your attendance. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This does conclude today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.